This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
At 10:06, it's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, always brought to you by great tracks like Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway. The final show today. Now, we're pre-recording because actually we have our car set up. The Dirt Modified, the Cancer Slayer, is set up out at the Senior Bowl today. So if you got a chance, here's what you need to do. You need to head out to the Senior Bowl, check out everything that's going on there, and then you have to head over to Deep South Speedway. First guest today, Deep South Speedway's own Ben Kilcrease. And Ben, today's media day, practice day, you've got cars lined up, you've had to actually bump up more drivers for your photo shoots. I mean, wow, are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready, more than ready. Good problem to have. We're having to fit in more drivers throughout the day today, and then we've got the big drivers meeting at 3 o'clock a little bit later, and we're expecting a big turnout for that. We're going to have refreshments for you guys, so come and join us, and we'll chat about the 2017 season, and at 4 o'clock, we're going to crank some cars up. We're going to put them out on the House of Speed.
That's beautiful.
The high banks.
You know, and you guys tell
get out with the old.
Tell us
the old in with the new.
There you go. Tell us a little bit about what you've done to the track and the surface, and there's going to be a lot of changes when drivers come to Deep South Speedway and fans come to Deep South Speedway from what they saw last year.
Oh man, as soon as they turn off of Highway 59 and head down the driveway, they're going to notice.
Wow.
You're going to see fresh paint on just about anything we can throw paint on. We're going to have paint on.
That's awesome.
It needs it terribly. Yeah. As far as the track goes, we've been working on this thing since Wednesday, and it's going to be a great surface. We're going to have a good night of practice this evening. We mix in a little bit of new clay out there, and what really helped us over the off season, the former management didn't run since September, so we had all the heavy rains and it was packed in real good. So what that did is it washed all the sandy dirt to the inside of the racetrack, and that's where it stayed. We're not bringing that back up. So we've got clay on the surface, and it's going to stay that beautiful Alabama red dirt clay. So
it's
going to be a good surface for tonight.
I've been watching drivers on Facebook getting their cars ready for asphalt and for dirt, and I noticed just yesterday that Mike Maddox, who's known for having a dirt open wheel modified on the asphalt, has built a dirt modified and will be there tonight practicing.
Oh, I did not even know that.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, he's not sure about some of the other local tracks and where they're going to race, and he said there's only a few places, and he said, you know what, dirt is where I need to go, and that's where he's going to be. So I'm excited to see how he shows up, and just really quick, running all over the place, open wheel modifieds, $12.50 to win the opening night, which is March 10th.
Yep, that's going to be a spectacular show. March 10th is, you're going to want to be here. We're going to be here March 10th and March 11th. It's Friday night, March 10th, with the Modifieds, and we'll have a pure stock feature that night as well.
Wow.
But the Modifieds will headline the night. $12.50 to win, and we're going to pay $125 to start throughout the rest of the field. And the payout's all on deepsouthspeedway.net. You can go ahead and pre-entry your vehicle and yourself into the race. All that's available on deepsouthspeedway.net. You go to the schedule, find March 10th, click more info, and then your buttons are on that page to get you all set up. But that's going to be, we're looking for a big show that night, and then we're going to back it up on Saturday, March 11th, and then we're going to the sprint cars.
Okay.
Line. So we're just a lot of planning going into this big opening weekend. Kane, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a little secret. Don't tell anybody.
Hey, no one's listening.
Already,
it's all good.
I'm already planning the opening ceremonies for opening weekend.
Wow.
If that shows you how big it's going to be. So, we're looking forward to it.
Well, okay, so I'm a fan, okay? And the past couple of years, I've been to Deep South Speedway, and it hasn't turned out what I thought a fan should probably experience. Why should I come back?
Oh, man, we are doing... Our fans are going to be, we're going to focus on the drivers. We're going to make our drivers our local celebrities. But our fans, they're going to be, we're going to focus so much on them this year. We're going to have so much fan involvement every night. Mm-hmm. We're going to pick a random fan. They're going to wave the green flag for a feature.
Awesome.
Every night, If we don't have a Grand Marshal, we're going to get some kids out of the grandstands, and they're going to fire the cars up to get us racing for the night.
Awesome.
We're going to give away some gas cards. We're going to give away some gift cards. We're going to throw out T-shirts, hats, koozies, you name it. Our fans are going to be a main focus. We're going to you get all these other tracks, Kane, and they have kids bike races once a year. We're going to try and do them once a month.
Oh, that's awesome.
We love our fans, and we're focusing so much on the fan side of things. We have you know the track is important, but on the other side of the fence, on our side of the fence, is really where we're focusing on. Where we're making the concession lines a whole lot quicker this season,
mm-hmm.
a whole lot inexpensive. So you're going to be able to afford concession food this year. So I mean, it's a huge turnaround. It's the same name. But as far as everything else goes, this is not the same racetrack.
That's beautiful. What about sponsorships? Because I've seen on the website, there's opportunities for you to start where the cars start. And I've seen Five Flag Speedway do that. I think it's brilliant to actually have certain sponsorships. What are some of the level and packages for fans, or if there's a business that's local that wants to get involved? Because I strongly feel the fan base will be back because they're so diehard, and there's a special magic and a spirit about that track. And by God, I think it's going to happen this time.
I think it is, too. As far as the sponsorship goes, Kane, we have sponsorship packages starting at $20.
Whoa.
You can't get into motorsports any cheaper than that.
Wow.
And then they range as high as you virtually and realistically want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the restart zone. I'm not going to say we stole that idea from Five Flags. But
no, I love it, though. I love it.
We have our restart zone there. Why not, you know, offer advertisement for it.
Exactly.
I think it was a great idea, so we're going to adopt that over here. We have a few people interested in the restart zone, so if you are interested in the restart zone, get on the phone, call me, because it's going to sell quick, I do believe. We've got a few people interested in sponsoring some of our divisions. That's going to be a big thing this year. So, like I said, advertising starting at $20 and going on up. So, any budget we can work with. Just contact us, and we'd be more than welcome to sit down with you and discuss.
Let's talk about the rules that have been out now. What is going to be different compared to some of the other rules and the other tracks? How are you guys working together? Because I know some of the drivers have been kind of concerned and waiting for that package to come out.
Yeah, I don't really call anybody else out, but
right.
Some of the others were dragging their feet, and that caused us to drag our feet.
Sure.
So our 2017 rules are up, and they're ready to go. And you can find those on deepsouthspeedway.net. Just hover over the driver button, and down at the bottom, you'll find rules.
Now, if I'm a driver who's just never been to Deep South Speedway, why bring the car there?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know why. Trust me, I know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm coming.
Yeah, if you want to experience speed like you've never experienced on the Gulf Coast before, you'll head to Deep South Speedway, the House of Speed, this year or this season, some point or another.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're focusing on our local racers. We're going to have special events at our local races. They are going to be the local celebrities on the Gulf Coast. We're going to build them up, and you guys will be the main focus this season at Deep South Speedway. So come on out. We'll have a great surface this year, a great fan base, and you guys will be treated like kings this season at Deep South Speedway.
Oh, well, we can't wait. I'm excited to bring the Kane Motorsports crew with the Kane's Warrior Kids. And just one more question. For the fans coming this weekend, hey, you can actually go watch and check out all these cars, because there's going to be a lot of them at practice. But you're not charging anything, are you?
Nope, you can come out tonight and watch for free. Practice is absolutely free, and it starts 4, and we go until 9, so you'll be home in time to get into bed and get ready for church on Sunday.
I'm telling you, the House of Speed at Deep South Speedway is going to be a lot of fun this year. Thanks a lot, and again, Ben, we appreciate it. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Well, I want to really quick, before we move on and go to the next segment, that we've got Sterling Marlin standing by, and there was a time when Sterling Marlin and I challenged the city of Nashville. They were trying to close down Nashville Speedway. I wasn't happy about it. A lot of local drivers weren't, and we reached out to Sterling, and actually, because of the interview that we had, we actually shut down the server on their email, so server, and that's pretty cool. I know that's something I you probably shouldn't be proud of, but Sterling and I were. And you've got that interview coming up also. Kale Gale's going to be on, and Dustin Long with NBC Sports. There's so much news with NASCAR. It's come this past week. We want to finish up the show with him, but one more time, I want to thank all the sponsors with Kane Motorsports as we travel into 2017. Again, today, you can stop by until about 2 o'clock. I think the game starts at 1:30. We're going to have the Kane Motorsports Dirt Open Wheel Modified Cancer Slayer out there, and we're debuting the brand new paint scheme from the Hub Design and Print Shop. They did amazing work, a lot of hours on this three-dimensional design. I want to thank BA Motorsports. Frank Griffith is a big part of what we're doing with the Cancer Kids and also racing. And again, McDonald's, Hefez Corporation has been with us for several years, and they continue to be a big part of our race team and, again, childhood cancer. Just like Pull Apart, national level with what they do, every time we get a top five, they give us an extra $100, and we give it to kids that are fighting cancer locally here along the Gulf Coast. The Vape Shop of Pensacola, Pace and Golf Breeze, if you're trying to quit smoking, they can help with their free vape starter kits. Also, K1 Race Gear's got us looking good this year. And Serpents of Bienville, go to SeanHerman.com. He's a world-renowned tattoo artist, also has this brand new art gallery, and we've teamed up with him to try to get children that are fighting cancer who have artwork that would like to have it produced. We'll produce it absolutely free, sell it online and at his studio, and 100% of proceeds go to the family. You can check out more at CanesWarriorKids.com. Thanks to Chris Falsack at Falsack Tires, also Heritage Electrical. It's got those cars looking good with all the lights that we have on them. Ratty Rods of the South, my brothers, we love you. Metroglass of Mobile, Ingersoll Racing, Coastal Traffic, USFD Racing. Special thanks to Dink and Susan Stevens and Auto Dickey. Look him up on Facebook, Auto Dickey. He is an incredible artist. He's doing my helmet now, and wait till you see him. Thanks to Mom and Dad, the family, and everybody, including my special wife, Michelle, who lets us go and do what we need to do, including take this commercial break. Stand by, more coming up. Buddy, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the final show for me. And again, I appreciate all the special fans and memories and all the special phone calls and texts and Facebook messages all this week. And it's been bittersweet again, but some family plans. Again, my father's been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and family comes first. And then we also have some other ventures that we're going to be branching out into. So again, we appreciate all the prayers. It's been amazing. All the just people that have kind of come out of the woodwork to wish us good luck. And we appreciate that. We'll still be racing. We're going to run our modified down at Deep South Speedway this year. We're excited about that. And of course, with the Pure Stock running at Mobile and at Five Flags Speedway this year, you know, I really like the fact of where we live here along the Gulf Coast, because we have so many different racetracks that are so close to us, and it's a race fan's dream. It's been great to be able to have the microphone, because I'm just a race fan who just happens to race as well and has had a lot of fun doing this show for the past 6 or 7 years. And it's always fun to have our Alabama drivers on. Always love having Grant Enfinger on, such a gentleman and a great racer. And of course, Thomas Prater, the Moose, he's been on several times. And we couldn't have the last show without, well, one of Mobile's favorite sons, Kale Gale. Kale is such a great interview, and I remember when he and I took the Dale Carnegie course together, and one of my special memories was, actually, when we were leaving the course, he and I looked at each other down the interstate, and let's just say we drag raced, and I mean, for about several miles, and I'm not gonna lie, Kale whooped me, but we were hauling, and I was on his back tail. Anyway, let's sit back and enjoy one more interview with my good friend Kale Gale. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, brought to you by Five Flags Speedway, Mobile International Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway. Thanks to McDonald's and Coastal Traffic. Also, our friends at Out of Sight Outfitters, a brand new retail store for men and women to hide your hardware, carrying and concealed a pistol. Also, thank you to Heritage Electrical, Falsack Tires, Ratty Rods of the South, Serpents of Bienville Art Gallery, and USFD Racing, along with Kane Motorsports. Still to come, Micah McCall's going to be on the line with Flemington Speedway tonight, the Gulf Coast Championship, with the Street Stocks, Pure Stocks, the Vintage, IMCA Modifieds. Also, we're going to have, gosh, the Mini Sprints, Tuners, and Slingshots. And we're going to talk about the Final Four with Matt Weaver. But now, this was a special, special week for a good friend of ours here on the show. First of all, we bring back in Kale Gale. Kale, good morning, and welcome back. I think you're in the Carolinas now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm in the Carolinas. I leave for Homestead in the morning. I got my little boy with me today. He's a little upset this morning. I took my phone away from him so I could talk to you.
Oh, God bless him, and tell him we won't keep you long. I know he likes those cartoons. Hey, you know, this was what a special, special memory you have with your family. 4 years ago, it was this week that you got your first Craftsman Truck Series race, and you're holding off one of the best in the nation, in the world, I might say. I mean, obviously, Kyle Busch. Can you kind of walk us through what that day was and what it meant and what it has done for you?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a dream come true for myself and all the people back home who invested their time with me, and a lot of local sponsorship invested their money.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day when I was trying to come up, and my dad and everything he sacrificed throughout the years for racing and to get me a shot at the top level, and we had some awesome opportunities to be able to do that for a few years, and you know, for it to you know, pretty much come down to the last race of the year, that season, and to be able to pull off the win was is definitely a special night, and a lot of, like I said, a lot of hard work and sacrifice, just it all come together that night, and we were able to pull it off.
Any words with Kyle Busch afterwards? Did he come congratulate you, or did he say, "Hey, punk, get out of the way," any of that kind of stuff?
No, he ain't had much to say, you know. It's just one of those things, you know, I feel like anybody in that position there would have done the same thing.
Yep.
You know, it's a last race of the year. It's my first chance to win.
Yep.
And you know, it, racing deal. That's stock car racing, truck racing.
That's even more. Well, you know, you cross the line in that moment when you're coming into turn one, you're lifting your foot off the gas, and you've just realized you beat the best in the world. What does that mean? I mean, you're still slowing down the car. I mean, how long did it take for you to hit? Because I remember screaming and kicking at the TV, darn near crying when you won. And then when you came out, the emotion that I saw as you climbed out of that truck, that, my friend, is what it's all about.
It is, you know, and, you know, it's been able to win a lot of different races and a lot of different type cars, but, you know, until you compete at that level and understand, you know, the level of competition drivers that you're competing against, it's just a very special moment, you know. I don't know. I could probably win all kinds of short track races from here. Maybe the Snowball Derby or something like that would get even of what that felt like. But it was just a surreal moment, you know, just very blessed to be in that position to begin with, and to be able to live out that dream that I dreamed since I was 4 or 5 years old, of being, you know, a professional race car driver, to be able to just feel it and make a dream come true, really. The next morning I remember I woke up and it's like, man, that really did happen. So many times I can remember having dreams and waking up and was like, oh, that didn't happen. It wasn't real, you know, and that really was real, you know, and it just, there's not a day that don't go by. So I still don't think about it, you know, it's just that feeling of life and that, you know, being successful. Having the feeling of that success was definitely awesome, and it carries me on my down days.
Yeah.
You know, racing's an up and down sport. But it's definitely a dream come true for sure.
We're talking with K.O. Gale this morning for the Carolinas about the win at Homestead 4 years ago this week, and tell me, you walk by the trophy every morning and comb your hair in it. You know what I mean? Where's the trophy at?
We got it in the living room here.
Awesome.
It's been in the, we set it down in the living room. It's been here ever since.
Awesome.
You know, I try to, you know, my son, he's three now. He wasn't able to see that, but, you know, he's been able to see me, you know, run my modified and win some races, a few races this year, and he's been able to experience what it's like a little bit. And same thing when I was growing up with my dad, you know, he won tons of races at Mobile and Pensacola, and you know, he was my hero, and I wanted to be like him, and that's how it all started.
Well, you know, you mentioned that. Yeah, you've got the modified April 25th this year at Callaway. You drove the Lightning McQueen lookalike number 20 or 95, I should say, win at Franklin County Speedway in Callaway. You're having fun in that modified, and still, you got that same exact, you know, thrill when you're out there running. What is it about a modified? Why did you pick that class of cars to run with? Because I know Dad is also running, but not a modified.
Yeah, you know, up here in the Carolinas, the modifieds are the premier division,
awesome.
Even over late models.
Wow.
In saying that, you know, there's a lot of super late model racing up here.
Oh, sure.
With the Cars Tour and the Pass deal. There's the main reason we went to modified was for the, you know, the economics of it.
Yeah.
You know, the car is about the same cost, motor bill's about the same, but the cost of going to racing is a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
We can do it more economical than what super racing has become.
Yeah.
So we kind of chose to go down that route. It was a new challenge for us. It was something that, you know, Dad or myself hadn't really messed with much, a tour type modified car. And, we kind of took it as a challenge and proved we could build a car and go out there and compete competitively.
Anything you guys touch is going to be like that. You know that. Even if it's a – I mean, I believe Camber has one of the coolest looking – I guess, what is it? The thing that looks like a race car. I guess that's a wagon. Is that what y'all built?
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah, we built Camber a little wagon when he was little. And, you know, as me and Dad were building it, we were about 2 days into it. And it's like, we just couldn't go buy a radio flyer. We just had to build it, you know.
And it was awesome. It had a wing and all that stuff. It was really cool. Well, I know Camber's getting excited to get that phone back, so we'll just keep you for a couple more minutes. Let's talk about the Snowball Derby. And Bubba's already down here helping a driver. Let's talk about what it would take to get you back in a wheel. Obviously, it's a lot of money, and it's a deal that you have to just it takes a while to set up. So maybe not this year, but you will be back.
Oh, yeah. You know, Snowball is one of those races that, you know, that I've went to since I was a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And growing up, it was the Daytona 500, you know,
yeah,
for us and the local short track racer all over the country. And you'll see me back down there again. I don't know right now if the perfect time is now financially and with work and things like that, but there'll be a time when we come back down there and try again. It's a race I've had, you know, cars with a lot of speed, had a lot of bad luck, you know, been fortunate enough to sit on the pole for it twice and had some good runs. Just bad luck seemed to bite me for whatever reason on Snowball Derby weekend. Yeah. I can even remember back when we had our old super stock car, there were a couple years we sat on the pole and something would just happen right away.
One of the fluke things, isn't it? Yeah, and it's like one of those things that you would never expect to happen and never does, but it happens that weekend.
Yeah. I mean, we've had, back then, you know, we won a lot of races and felt like we prepared the best we could for the Snowball and just wasn't in our cards. So I've probably ran that event probably in some type of vehicle probably 10 or 12 times and then I've never won a race on Snowball Derby weekend, so hopefully one year we'll change that and get that knocked off the bucket list here.
You know, we have a lot of new fans and a lot of new families that listen to the show all the time with our time slot at 10 o'clock now, a little bit later, and there's a lot of go-karting that happens around the Gulf Coast. Karting seems to be huge. You got started in karting, and there's a lot of families just getting started in racing. It takes a lot of money to take it to the top. What kind of advice would you give a family that's looking to get into racing and maybe some that want to take it to where you tried to go?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, as the years have passed, racing has changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And with myself, I was very, very fortunate to have 30 years of experience behind me before I got started.
Right.
So my dad, he had a good plan laid out for me. I feel like, you know, the first step is obviously go-karts.
Yeah.
I feel like that, you know, obviously you get to a certain age where you got to move up. I think the Bandoleros are a good option. I think that it teaches you a little bit of car control. I think Legends is a great step.
Yeah.
And then after that, I mean, it's definitely a pro late model or I see, you know, I see a lot of guys now, even all the way up to the NASCAR ranks. You know, there's a lot of guys coming off of dirt now. It's not so much just the asphalt scene. So I think dirt, from a racer standpoint, is probably more economical than asphalt racing.
Yeah.
And you know, the purse seems to be higher and things like that. We're always asphalt guys. So that's what we knew. And that's what I did was asphalt race.
Yeah.
Coming up, my dad, you know, when I kart raced, I did go a little bit of dirt go-kart racing, and then they had a asphalt road course track in Gulfport, Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
That used to run on Sundays, and Dad felt like at an early age that asphalt road course and experience for me would be better than running dirt, you know, week in and week out.
Right.
And so we did a little bit of both. I felt like at an early age I was, you know, a little bit versatile, I feel like if I would have had some dirt experience in a car, I might have, been able to progress a little bit differently. And, right. and when you go to racetracks where it's not so one line, move around, I think dirt racing provides that for you. And I think that's a good thing the higher you move up.
So when does Camber get his first race car?
Well, he
has he already got it?
He thinks he's ready now.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you, Kane. I'm thinking about giving him a golf club.
Oh, really? Yeah, you know what? Smart dad right there. Don't even get him into this racing thing.
I don't know how that'll work out between my dad and him, but yeah. Probably the safe route would to get him a baseball bat and a glove and maybe a golf club and let him have at it.
But. I'm sorry. He's already got the Gale curse. He's got it in his blood, brother, so he's going to be racing. Just get used to it. Hey, Kale.
Do you want to tell Kane what you want to be when you grow up?
I don't know.
Kane, what you want to be?
I want to be a race car driver.
Awesome.
There you go.
Well, you know what? And you let him know. As soon as he can reach the pedals, I'm going to just let him have my dirt modified. How's that?
Sounds like a deal, man.
Again, such a great family man, and we wish K.O. Gale, Bubba, and his whole crew up there in the Carolinas the very best as they continue to race this season as well. Still to come, we're going to wrap up the show. Dustin Long, my brother with NBC Sports, will cover a lot of good NASCAR stuff heading out right now. Hang on. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Well, thanks to Five Flag Speedway and Sunny South Raceway sponsoring the shows for as many years as they've done, and it's been a lot of fun, and it's been a good run. And as we're wrapping up the show one final time, I wanted to bring this interview back in. This was back when Nashville Speedway was going to be closed down by the city, and Sterling Marlin was such an advocate for the track. He and I both actually helped close down the mayor's office of Nashville by putting his phone number out there and email address. They shut down the computers. Our voices were heard because they're still racing in Nashville, but it was an interesting conversation. I like it when Sterling Marlin gets wound up. Enjoy this interview with Sterling Marlin. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks again to Mobile International Speedway. Taking the weekend off, but I tell you what, we'll be back in the Wing Sprint cars coming back on October 16th. Going to have the Bombers and the Sportsmen wrapping up the championship. I'm excited about the rest of the show. Grant Enfinger going to be at Rockingham, it looks like. ARCA driver standing by, but this is really an honor to have the two-time Daytona 500 champion of 1994 and 1995 NASCAR champion Sterling Marlin on the air with us. And Sterling, good morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine.
Well, I am, like I said, a big fan, first of all, so I appreciate you taking the time this morning, because here you are. You're getting ready to go and run about 400 laps or so racing today in Nashville, so I appreciate you taking the time in here to just kind of tell us, before we get everything started, and I'll go through the accolades and everything you've done, you're really the main reason why you came on the show, and you did the newspaper article, is just your displeasure of what's going on in Nashville and what they're doing and what the plans are at the track.
Well, yeah, they which everybody probably knows, but they're trying to shut the track down, and it's got everybody really disturbed down in the dumps, and it's one of the greatest race short tracks in the country, and the whole place, the fairgrounds, the flea market, the whole deal makes Metro money. Mm-hmm. $4 to $5 million a year, and the racetrack has never took 1 cent of taxpayer money, and the Metro was repeatedly give the Titans money, the Predators money, the Sounds money, and that's what we can't figure. It makes money, and they're wanting to tear the track down, spend $20 million to tear it down. Jeez. And build a green space or ballparks. And it's in a floodplain. That's going to flood. Who's going to pay for all that? The Metro taxpayers going to pay for it. And wow. It's plenty of room on either end of the track to put soccer fields or ball fields, whatever they want to do. And we just can't, for life, I was fucking figured out. I mean, he's going to move the flea market to Hickory Hollow, which is a really rough part of town. Uh-huh. That's why the mall closed down.
Oh, wow.
Nobody wants to move with the flea market. And the Christmas business don't want to move. But he's going to spend $18 million buying that place. And, where's all this money coming from? The taxpayers. And the other day I read in the paper, Bredesen, the mayor, the governor, they're cutting $45 million out of the state budget.
Wow.
Because of shortfalls. And where's Metro getting all this money? And we just, it's going to cost a lot of people that build race cars for a living. We've got a parts house up there that does a million and a half, million out a year in sales. It's pretty much put them out of business. So we just, everybody's up in arms. You know, we just can't understand the logic and the thinking behind this.
Well, and the thing is you have such a colored history at that track. I mean, it was a NASCAR track from 58 to 84, and you saw all sorts of people there, including you had your NASCAR debut race there in 1976. Walk us through that day, your first cup race.
Well, it was a deal. My dad went to Talladega and broke a spinal qualifying for ARCA race and broke his shoulder, and the guy that sponsored the car at the time was out of Hartsville, Tennessee, and we had about 2 weeks to fix the car, and he said, if you can fix it, you can drive it, and my cousins come out, and all my friends from wherever come out, and we totally rebuilt the car. Wow. And I got it to the drugs in Nashville, and I think qualified about 28th, finished about 28th, broke the stribber or something, but that was my third start ever in a car, and the third start was a cup race, so.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah, so, you know, we got a lot of members. My dad won 4 track championship there. I won 3, and my sons won races. My daughter raced, and mm-hmm. it's been a big part of our family for years, since the 50s.
Yeah, so, you know, Charlie Welch just said right before your interview, he said, you know, I was talking with Sterling, and he said, I just want to see my grandbaby race there. Do you think
yeah, it'd be neat. I mean, he's 6 years old now, and he's hell on wheels with four-wheeler. And you know, the thing about it, it's not a track of this stature and facility anywhere around.
Yeah.
We got some quarter miles around, and you can start there, but you basically need to move up. I mean, yeah. Darrell Walter, you look at the guys that went to Cup, my dad, myself, Bobby Hamilton Jr.,
yeah.
Jeff Green, Jeremy Mayfield, and the list goes on and on of the guys that got to start at Nashville and went on to run Winston Cup, and they cut that place out. It's going to really hurt it. And, back in the late 70s, early 80s, they had some turmoil with Warner Hosen going bankrupt. And mm-hmm. at the time, Nashville was the third largest stop on the Winston Cup circuit.
Yeah.
And, the mayor then, let everything slip out of the hands. They could have a Bristol right there in Nashville, and as much recreation as it is to do in Nashville, they really, really missed a boat. They missed 160,000 people twice a year.
Man.
Coming there. And,
yeah.
They just couldn't see the forest for the trees, you know. So, it's before they do this, they really, really need to sit back and think, and what are we doing here?
Now, let's play word association. When I say Mayor Carl Dean, what do you say?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've had some people, interested parties, try to buy the place. Two mm-hmm. different parties contacted me last year. And, you know, if it's such a thorn in the side, send it to somebody. You know, just mm-hmm. they want to get rid of it. Somebody get $15 million for it.
Oh, and, guarantee it. Probably make that money back, too.
Yeah, and they never would return a phone call, nothing. Just totally ignorant. Just don't bother us.
Well,
if it's something coming in, a big mall or something like a big manufacturing place that needed mm-hmm. the property, you know, you could see it. You right. wouldn't want to see it.
But you'd understand
nothing
it.
Going in but yeah. a stupid green space and ballparks.
Yeah.
And they got all kind of land in Nashville to do it. They had 7 public golf courses in Nashville, got 7.
Jeez.
That lost $1.7 million last year. Now, are they closing? No. Absolutely
mad.
Not. So, we just think he don't like racing. He wants to dump it, you know. But, we just, everybody's, like I said, up in arms.
How has the media treated this up there?
I think he's got the media bought off. You open the paper today and it's not a word about the race. It's one
are
the
you serious?
Race.
Wow.
Not a word in the paper about anything in racing, so... we had an article yesterday, but as far as today, it's nothing in the papers. So
that's a shocker. I hate that. You know, I've become good friends with Charlie this year. It just talked, you know, that this track just this year has been through hell, from the flooding to the limited schedule. But like I told him, and you're a test to this because you race here, they've had good car counts and they've had positive cash flow. You know, and it hasn't, like you said earlier, it hasn't cost anybody in Nashville at all a dime to operate that track.
Oh, it had. I mean, they've had, Tony Fimosa's done a great job promoting it, and probably averaged 4,500 to 5,500 people. The 5 races we run in this today is going to be probably 9 or 10,000 people. But mm-hmm. You got to look at, you know, what the fans that come in out of town. I've had fans come in from out of town just watch me come run 125 laps, and
yeah.
the money that they bring into the city to spend. So, like I said, it's just got everybody pretty mad.
Yeah. Well, you know, you look at your career. You had 10 wins, 216 top 10s, 11 poles. What would you say, and I have to ask you, and I'm sure it's probably the Daytona 500 wins, but is there one that sticks out that just is the one that when you look back and you say, you know, I did this, and I remember this race because of, which race is that?
Well, I don't know. You know, the first 500 we won, we tested really good and just had a feeling going to Daytona. I'd run second at full car two or three times on speedways, and first shot out of the box, we won 500. And we won the best car for, you know, two-thirds of the race, and Tony made some good calls, chassis adjustments, and got the car fixed, and messed around, won the race, made a great call in the pits. And the next year we come with the new Monte Carlo, and that was a pretty special week. Just that car was so fast. I mean, it was just awesome. And won a qualifying race here, won 500. So, and you know, beat Earnhardt. He pitted late and was coming with new tires and was trying to hold him off. And that's a pretty exciting finish.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Now let me ask you: do you miss being on the big cup circuit? It's not like it really isn't like it was, is it? I mean, NASCAR's changed quite a bit, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I guess I'm old school. It's just not near as much fun as it used to be. I got, you know, the last couple of years running, got aggravated with the 3 o'clock starts and 4 o'clock starts, and you know, just start the races at 12, 1 o'clock and get home. But you know, guys get home, not drag them out all day, and they just got so, the templates you put on cars and everything was so political, and just, you know, if you miss a 16th inch, you're going to throw you out. And I mean, let's just race. I mean,
yeah, there you go.
Like you used to be, go to the dealership and buy your sheet metal and build your cars. Just got the point now that it's got to be all engineers and technical, and the average guy that would want to go start a race team and just go to Daytona, you just really can't do it.
Yeah, they just don't have the money. Well, you're heading to the track, Sterling. I wanted to just, again, thank you for taking time. I don't want to take too much more. I just want to, again, you give me your thoughts, rounded up, Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, what it means to your family one more time.
Well, like I said, it means a ton. Like I said, I like to see my grandson get to race there one day, and it's always been a springboard for drivers going to Winston Cup or Busch or Truck, and it's just... urge all the listeners to flood the mayor's office with calls, and what do y'all think this thing out before you do it? And like I said, if it was something positive going in there, yeah, you could see it. But to build a ballpark is going to cost money, and money to tear the place down, and we hadn't got the EPA part of it. So
yeah, you're right, because they're going to have to spend money because of all the oil on the track. But
Well,
Sterling, it's been an honor to have you on. You go make some history tonight, take both those wins, and I would love the opportunity to have you back on the show sometime.
All right, I'll try to get out Mobile sometime.
Hey, we're ready for you. Good luck this weekend. Thanks, Sterling.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
All right. I knew you were going to like that interview. Sterling Marlin, he did a great job. We've had him on several times on the show, one of my favorite guests as well. He's always animated and always tells you how he feels. That's what's so great. I tell you what, we've still got so much to continue on our final show. Stand by. It's Full Throttle Racing Weekend. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Sterling Marlin, Kale Gale. And how about all the excitement at Deep South Speedway Media Day practice? And I think after that photo shoot with Auto Week, after we get done, we're going to roll down there tonight with practice until 9 o'clock. Again, we are actually pre-recording today's show. This is actually being recorded yesterday because we have the car on display now at the Senior Bowl. Stop out. Again, the kickoff is at 1:30. You can come into the fan zone. We've got a lot of goodies from Toomey's Mardi Gras here in town. So many football beads and stuff. So I got to get rid of them all. And also, thanks to Pull Apart, we've got some goodies. And again, the hub printing and design has just made our car look amazing. We're doing the Cancer Slayer theme. We've got a dragon, some battle scenes with an incredible knight, and there's a good story behind it. So when you come by and check out the car, we'll tell you all about it. So much going on with NASCAR Media Days. And with the final segment of my final show in 30 years, I wanted to have my brother on, Dustin Long. And usually we just don't act like we like each other. But honestly, no... And the checks, I know, and the check's in the mail still. No, I can't do that. Mom's listening. Quit. No. Hey, good morning, and again, what a busy week it has been with NASCAR. First of all, Carl Edwards, let's just start with him now that he's out of NASCAR. The rumors are and the stories are, and I kind of thought he might be looking at actually getting into maybe being a U.S. Senator.
Well, there was a report out of Columbia, Missouri that somebody wrote in a column speculating that they anticipated Carl Edwards could make a run for the U.S. Senate in 2018, go against Democrat Claire McCaskill out of Missouri. I know Carl Edwards talked at the press conference announcing that he was leaving the sport, that he was asked about public office and and said something that, you know, he wasn't prepared to do at this point, but something that, you know, might be down the road. When this report came out the other day, he had a text communication with the Associated Press and kind of said the same thing. And so just being very coy about things right now. But certainly there were a lot of questions, and even though Carl gave some reasons for leaving, I mean, to leave when you're 37, still at the top of your game in sport, and to walk away from the millions and millions of dollars that are on the table still, it's, you know, there certainly were some those who raised other questions, thinking that there was more than what he was saying. And like I said, he was kind of coy on some things, and maybe this will play out. We'll see.
I know Kyle Busch mentioned it a little bit, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. said he wants to retire on his own terms. So, yeah, kind of interesting. Let's talk about the new rule packages that came out Monday. In talking with some of the fans on Facebook and talking to them and just seeing some of the stories and reaction, I'm kind of thinking that the fans are into it. What are you kind of getting, and what are your thoughts? You guys had a great live video chat between yourselves on one of the websites that NBC does, and I just really enjoyed hearing how you guys talked about it and broke it down.
It's the enhancements to the race formats, and basically, you know, during the media tour, some of the drivers were asking, you know, how do you simply explain this to the fan and to those who might be a little bit funny. And essentially what some of the drivers are saying is, like, look, there's two caution periods during the race that you know are going to happen,
right?
And at the end of those caution periods, they're going to award points to the drivers in the top 10 spot. And then you're going to keep racing and go all the way into the race and go for it, see who wins and who scores and who gets the race winning, you know, the points at the end of the race. Plus, with having these two cautions, you know, an advantage for fans is that radio and TV now have two natural breaks to where they can play some commercials, so that it takes away a couple of opportunities where they have to do a commercial break during a green flag segment when people then miss the racing. So it doesn't mean that all the green flag commercial breaks are going to go away.
Right.
So that's not the case. But it's a case of just trying to find, you know, ways to allow fans to see more of the racing, to force, you know, drivers to, you know, have to, you know, they not ride around as much. Or to be, I guess, even more aggressive is what they kind of say. And also with the another key element is that your bonus points that you pick up for wins or segment wins, or stage wins, those will carry over throughout the playoffs all the way up Homestead, the season finale in Miami, if you get there. So now when the driver who wins the Daytona 500, when they get out of the car, they're not just saying, yeah, now I'll, you know, we're all but set in the playoffs, and we'll just go test and tune for the next 15 weeks, and then we'll start building momentum toward the playoffs. So you have things that are going to force drivers. You can't lay back, and I think that's one of the things that people are encouraged by, and I think it'll be interesting to see how all this happens. And I think another thing that fans will like is that it's no longer called the chase. It's the playoffs now. And you know, back when the chase was created in 2004, NASCAR was adamant about, you know, it's not a playoff, it's a chase.
Right.
You know, but over time, even though it's been around for a while, there still was some confusion about what chase was, especially when teams would go talk to sponsors that weren't as in tune with the sport at the time. And also it just had a kind of a negative connotation to a lot of fans. So chase is gone, it's playoffs, and we'll see what all comes out of it.
What do you think about a road course at Charlotte during the chase or the, you know, the final period? AJ Allmendinger actually took some took some laps around there. What was his response?
Well, I mean, he's a road racer, so he'd love to see it. So
of course.
I think some of the other guys would love to see it. So, you know, my contention has been, I don't believe a road course should be in the playoffs if they're just moving one of the two road course races into the playoffs. Because then road courses will only constitute 1/26 of the regular season.
I see.
But count 1/10 of the playoffs, and they still have an increased weight in the playoffs. Now, if you have two road course races in the regular season, so that's 2 out of 26, so 1/13, and you have one road course in the playoff, that's 1/10. That's a closer relationship, a little bit more even. So that would be fine. If you have two in the regular season, you put one in the playoffs, then I'm good with that. Whether that'll happen, we'll see. There's still a lot of work that would have to be done. You got to think that at some point, Goodyear would need to do probably a tire test.
Yeah.
And there would have to be open tests, additional time. Teams would need to know ahead of time because, frankly, teams would probably want to build an additional car or build an additional road course car if that means there's an extra road race. So on the schedule at some point.
Right.
So anything's possible, but I'm not sure at this point that I believe or think it will happen for this year. Now, maybe down the road, or maybe they'll make some other changes. But I'm not holding my breath at this point. That doesn't mean things can't change. There's more changes. There's some more things coming, even before Daytona, that NASCAR will be coming out with some different things that fans will see during races and so forth. So who knows? That may be part of it, or may be announced at a later date.
You talk about changes. I saw just a really cool picture on Martinsville's website. You know, they're testing their new LED lighting system on Wednesday, and it just looked cool. Tell me about it. And are the drivers, when would we see a night race at Martinsville? Is that even thinking on the schedule yet, or are we still, again, they're in the process of just trying to work that out?
Well, Martinsville's adding light,
yeah,
and they will have a late model stock car race in September be their first night race.
Got it.
Type of thing, but under this with these LED lights. But there's at this point it would be hard to imagine Martinsville having a night cup race. The cup race is what, April 2nd, October 29th.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you would want to be sitting in stands in the evening.
That's true.
Now, I guess it depends on your point of view. If you believe there's global warming, then maybe in a few years that would be,
but if not,
would be
yeah,
fine. If you don't believe in global warming, then you probably don't want to sit in a stand. So I guess it'll depend on your political preference. But with the date, realistically, you're probably not going to see it. Essentially, what the lights do is they give a guarantee that if the races start late for weather, or something like that, or something happens that delays the race, that you're not going to have the race shortened by darkness or the threat of it. I mean, remember a couple years ago when Jeff Gordon won to get to the championship finale in Miami, where he won it at Martinsville. That was his last win, and how dark it was. And had there been another caution, and they would have had to go on to another green light checker, and they might not have made it because it was so dark. And so that's, they don't, NASCAR doesn't want the fans to sit there all day,
right,
enjoy the race, and then all of a sudden have it in because it's so dark. So this is a way to allow fans to see the end of the race. Let's say that there's rain in the morning and it pushes the start back. That's always been a concern at Martinsville because it didn't have light. That, if it suddenly starts at 3:30 or something like that, especially in the fall, that's going to be tough to get to the finish because it's a 3.5, hour race or can be longer at times. So it just kind of avoids that issue. I mean, it gets down to the point that, frankly, every track that hosts a playoff race should have light. I mean, that's what the simple thing is. It should be. And for Martinsville, it's a $5 million investment. So, it's easy for me to spend other people's money and say, hey, $5 million.
That's right.
I don't have the purse strings of some of the other tracks that don't have lights. And obviously with New Hampshire, New Hampshire would like to put in lights, but they can't. because they have an agreement with the town or the community there that when the track was built that there would not be night racing. Oh. We've been working on that for some time, but again, that's one where that's probably always going to be an issue, is because of the local ordinance or local agreement with the community there. That unless that gets changed, and I know they've tried in the past, you probably won't see night racing at New Hampshire or Lightset.
Well, Dustin, it has been an honor to have you on the show, and we've got about two.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's really, really, and I got to say this from the bottom of my heart. All the times talking to you over the years, it's just been an incredible waste of my time.
Yes,
and it's just, you know, I don't know why I've always done this, and I think it's more out of pity for you.
Probably, most people have that.
Actually, it's been fun. It's been fun. So it's always fun to get on the radio knock your ego down a little bit.
Oh, and you're so good at it. You have done that since how long?
And remind people who the big brother is.
Of course. How did you get involved in racing? What made you decide to get in and become a sports writer?
Because I didn't think you'd do it, so I was going to find something you didn't want to do.
But I had to follow my big brother's steps. I love you, man. Hey, thank you for everything. And say goodbye to Mom one more time.
Bye, Mom.
And I love you too, Mom. Thank you all for a wonderful, wonderful 30 years.
You can't go now. We need you. Work here is done. Needed elsewhere now. I'm needed wherever outlaws rule the West. Wherever innocent women and children are afraid to walk the streets. Wherever a man cannot live in simple dignity. Wherever a people cry out for justice.
Oh.
All right, you caught me. Speak the plain truth. It's getting pretty damn dull around here.
Good luck and God bless you.
If you'd like to be featured on Full Throttle Racing with Kane, email us at fullthrottleracingwithkane@yahoo.com, and they may have you and your race team on the air. Join us again next Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. for another hour of local and national racing news on Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5.